the 34th chapter, the 4th verse. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the lands of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, in the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea. Now let's turn to the 3rd chapter, the book of Philippians, and the 13th verse. Philippians, if you have a small Bible, it's page 329. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, our subject is a very timely one, looking ahead into 1981. Looking ahead unto 1981. Now, since my conversion in the first day of 1938, and commencing in the field of evangelism in the 40s, I was privileged to go up and down this country from the Atlantic almost to the Pacific and from the Gulf of Mexico unto the Great Lakes. In my driving around this country, I was always looking ahead, looking at the panoramic view, the gorgeous trees, the mountains and the hills and the vales and the crimson flowers. And I was constantly looking ahead. Sometime I meet up with wreckage and ruin, car accident. But I would not allow myself to look back. I was forever looking ahead. Until all of the hazards and the wrecks in the rear, I tried to dismiss and avoid and was always looking to future one. I believe that we must devote our minds and labors to the present and as well as to the future. And let the wreckage of the past be a note of warning to each of us. And I believe as individual Christians and the church members as a whole must be moving forward. For we cannot allow ourselves as Christians and afford to fix a constant gauge upon what lies behind. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting the things that we cannot help and living for the things for what we can do. Moses was privileged to ascend to the high hills of Pisgah. And there Almighty God gave him a vision from the land of Dan in the Gilead and Naphtali. He saw the rolling hills and the plains, and God assured him that his seed will possess all of this land. And I'm convinced that in 1981, we as an individual and as a church must forge ahead or fade out. We must evangelize in these crucial days or fossilize. I believe we must have a greater vision to see the possibilities of gaining new territories. As I try to bring your mind into subjection at this time, there are three fundamental and basic truths that we'd like to present to you. That firstly, we must have a vision to look ahead in this 1981. It's the only survival of a person's experience or the Church of Jesus Christ. If we are going to look what we have experienced in the past of all the failures and the trials, without looking ahead, you'll wind up frustrated and defeated as a Christian. We must ever be on the alert that there are new territories to possess, new experiences to gain. But whenever we lose the vision of adventure, we usually settle down in complacency and apathy, living on past experiences until actually all of our usefulness is over. I recall one scene at one time. A man seemingly was living in ecstasy and sheer rapture. In every service he would get up and testify of the goodness and graciousness of God. And he would begin to elaborate. And one of the deacons or elders in the church said, "Mr. X, in all of those years of living in such ecstasy, how many souls you were responsible for? To lead the church or to lead the Christ?" He said, "I don't suppose any." He said, "Well, sit down and shut up." That was a crude way. But sometimes indirectly, by your lives, by your influence, and by your winsome personality, you lead someone to church that finally they'll give their hearts and life to Jesus Christ. Back in the middle 40s, I was reading the Times-Picayune in the city of New Orleans, and I came across an article by George Matthews Adams. I read his articles every day. When I began to center my thoughts upon that, when he stated, he said, "We need men with far-reaching vision, men that's more defiant, men who will not brook defeat, nor be broken by setback. We need men with far-reaching eyes, who will measure their ways straight, and not be discouraged over criticism or failures of those who fail to appreciate your idealism. It takes spunk, fortitude, and a strong backbone." I've been reading up lately on prophecy and what is transpiring in this 20th century. When I thought about the communists, not per se, but the communistic ideology or their atheism, how they are advancing their theory. Did you know that 15 million Chinese in mass political indoctrination are being done now while we're trying to carry the gospel of Jesus worldwide? They are forging ahead, advancing in the Far East and in Latin America and in South America, working untiringly, feverishly to mass indoctrinate people on their atheistic views and communistic idealism. How much more are we, as a Church of Jesus Christ, must labor to try to indoctrinate and to fortify people to get ready for that eventful hour when time will no longer be. Dearly beloved, we need a vision that would give us a strong determination to forge ahead as an individual and as a church. For after all, the Bible states expressly that we are laborers with God. Since I'm a co-laborer with Almighty God and Jesus Christ, I am personally responsible to Him. And whenever I shirk my duties, whenever I fail in the hour of crisis, I only reveal my inability to trust Jesus when going is rough. Too many of us prefer the beaten tracks. No new challenge, no hard work, but we settle down on our leaders in complacency. As far as I'm concerned, there's no retrogressing. Forgetting those things which are behind. For after all of our labors, our tears, our energies we exert must harmonize with our prayers. But be ye well assured that laziness will hinder your advancement in the things of God. Your indifference and your unconcernedness and your prayerlessness will only nullify your prayer until actually you lose the romance to witness, to teach, to pray, and to better yourself. And how many we've seen fall by the wayside who once had that buoyancy, that radiance, that romance, that love, that devotion, that concern, now have given up in smug complacency with no drive and no concern. Let's, as a church, as an individual, recapture that sense of urgency in 1981. But I am confident that we will triumph. We will be victorious. We'll come out on the winning side if we continue to advance unfalteringly. You as an individual is accounted to God. You're accountable to God for your works, your labors, and your effort. For after all, every day doesn't reveal a big Santa Claus or Christmas for exchange of gifts. What can I receive? Give me, give me, give me. With no sense of personal responsibility as to what I can give. It's not the theory as to how well I can wear a crown. Oh no. But how well I can bear a cross. And only cross-bearing indicates your concern to forge ahead and to advance the cause of Christianity in Christ the world around. I reiterate, we must recapture this sense of urgency in this 20th century, even 1981, or we'll be obliterated. We'll fossilize. No God, no Christ, no concern. Let me say, friends, it's not good enough to rise to the new summits of personal enjoyment and peace and see the land and see the promise of God without forging ahead to capture the land. There's new frontiers. There's new land to possess. There's soul to reach. And there's a sense of being loyal and devoted. And say with the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Moses got a glimpse of this land, and his seed possessed the land that God promised. All the tears and sweat that went into this church from its foundation, many preachers labored sacrificially with just a few beans and rice as a survival kit. And they labored heroically, untiringly, with tears and sweat. And I, for one, want to maintain that heritage.